This week, we've been having a series of conversations about Iraq and the rise of ISIS and whether or not the U.S. should be more or less involved in the fight. We heard arguments for each side earlier this week. Yesterday, we spoke with Rajiv Chandrasekaran, who covered the Iraq War for The Washington Post. He said it's important for the U.S. to stay involved in Iraq.
It's essentially a buffer state between Shiite Persian Iran and the Sunni Arab monarchies of the Persian Gulf. But it also is a multi-ethnic, multi-sectarian country. It is a society that could represent the future of a more pluralistic Middle East.
You can hear all of our conversations at hereandnow.org as we turn today to Ahmed Ali. He is Iraqi-American. He's a senior visiting fellow at the Education for Peace in Iraq Center. Ahmed, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's good to be with you.
And as you look at the current fight against ISIS in Iraq, what do you see? What do you think?
Well, I do believe that ISIS remains on the defense in Iraq. By and large, the organization has peaked. It is not able to control any more terrain. And there is a great deal of pressure on ISIS from multiple directions, particularly in northern Iraq, where the Iraq Kurdish Peshmerga are continuously containing ISIS and ensuring that ISIS is unable to launch major operations in that area. And of course, in the aftermath of the fall of Ramadi, ISIS did gain the momentum very momentarily, however. That doesn't mean we should take solace in that or stop the pressure on ISIS. It just means that we have to understand the nature of the battlefield at the moment, as I see it throughout my trips and throughout my research.
So as you listen to John McCain, Senator John McCain, say this week that we are not winning the war against ISIS, you disagree?
I think it's very important to put the war against ISIS in perspective. This is not a war that is going to end in a year or two. I at least give it between 3 to 5 years. And 3 to 5 years of sustained U.S. commitment to support forces on the ground and to make sure that the U.S. does have a robust air campaign against ISIS. And, of course, we know that ISIS is not only operating in Iraq, it's also operating in Syria, which makes the fight against the organization much more difficult. And as a result, we do have to understand the nature of this war. This war cannot polarize the American public as the 2003 war did. This war has to unify the American public because ISIS is a threat to the United States and to the interests of the United States worldwide.
But the war in 2003, as we know, required more than 100,000 U.S. troops going to Iraq for that invasion. This war against ISIS, we're dealing with a much smaller number. And that's really the question we've been asking this week is how much of a U.S. commitment is it worth? Should U.S. troops be putting their lives on the line to battle back against ISIS, which is certainly a threat to Iraq? The question of how much of a threat it is to the West is really up for debate.
I don't think the threat of ISIS to the West is up for debate, Jeremy. I do believe that ISIS has priorities, and the priority at the moment is to control terrain in Iraq and Syria. And then once it has those safe havens, it will shift its attention to the West and tries and it will try to attack the West. And that's why I believe that it is very important for the U.S. to have a sustained commitment in Iraq. That doesn't mean sending or deploying 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 U.S. troops, as some people are calling for, because there are Iraqi forces on the ground fighting ISIS. And by the numbers, there are almost 200,000 anti-ISIS forces members in Iraq, and they can play a role. What they need is further U.S. support, and we can provide their support to those forces. But I do agree with you that this is the fight for the Iraqis to win. U.S. forces and U.S. soldiers should not put their lives on the line to give Iraq another chance.
They shouldn't, but you're saying that to some degree they should.
Yeah, we should not have the same commitment that and the same level of operations that we had in 2003 up to 2011. That resulted in giving Iraq a chance, and we do have to be very realistic. Iraqis, by and large, are responsible for squandering that opportunity. Now we can, as the United States, give Iraq another chance, but we should not do it by sending 15,000 U.S. soldiers and put them in harm's way.
So how many should be there?
There is a strategy that could be in play, which is deploying forward air controllers, those U.S. forward air controllers, and those elements who are normally special operators can embed with the population. They are well trained, and they can direct the airstrikes that that will make them more effective. And because at the moment the air campaign is effective when it happens with a great deal of intensity. However, what I observed and what a lot of Iraqi officers and officials told me is that the air campaign is not intense enough. The presence of those special operators will intensify the airstrikes, and those special operators will not have to fight on behalf of the Iraqis. They will be enablers to the Iraqi forces and not the tip of the spear to defeat ISIS.
If there were no ISIS, and I know that that's a big if there were no ISIS, would it make sense in your view as an Iraqi American for the U.S. to withdraw completely and just leave Iraqis in complete control of their country?
You know, I think it's the U.S. and Iraq are partners, and the U.S. has profound interest in continuing to support Iraq and continue to support peace in Iraq. And it doesn't only have to do with the military front. Iraq needs humanitarian assistance, for example, and we at the Education for Peace in Iraq Center are focused on that effort because we know that there is going to be a post-ISIS time period. And during that time period, a great deal of stabilization will have to take place, and the U.S. government can be effective in promoting peace and security in Iraq. Iraqis are looking to the United States for a leadership role now and moving forward.
There are many who have looked at the country of Iraq and the modern borders of Iraq and said this doesn't make any sense because unlike Iran or Saudi Arabia, you have Sunnis and Shia and Kurds all within the same borders of a country that this should never have existed like this. And that's one of the reasons why there's been such a vicious civil war.
Yeah, I disagree with that view. I think Iraqis have had a lot of disagreements among themselves, and there has been sectarianism in Iraq before 2003. But there have also been periods of time in which Iraqis did get along.
And you don't think that was just because there was such a repressive regime?
No, that's certainly a big part of it, and I can tell you that from my own experience. But to say that Iraq is an artificial country will be offensive to many Iraqis who see Iraq as an imperfect country, a country that can succeed. But many of them blame the politicians. They think the politicians are not doing what is in the public good. I think Iraqis look forward to the day, even now with all of these challenges, look forward to the day in which they're only able to do what we're able to do here in the United States, which is send their children to school and, you know, achieve a prosperous future. But the threat of ISIS is so severe now that, you know, these ideas are coming up that Iraq is an artificial country. And I do not believe that Iraq will fall apart. Iraq will continue to be one country.
Do you ever see a moment where an American could visit Iraq without concern for their own safety? Is that something that's coming in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years, that I could go there, walk around Baghdad and walk around Ramadi and not worry that somebody's going to kill me?
You know, we had that moment in 2010, and the Iraqis, as I said, particularly Prime Minister Maliki, with his performance, squandered that opportunity. When I go to Iraq now, as an Iraqi American, I am able to do what you described, and I take a great deal of pleasure in it. What will be important is for the U.S. to first of all defeat this ISIS threat, and then continue to work on stabilizing Iraq after ISIS. That's when you and other Americans can travel safely to Iraq and enjoy the many things that Iraq has to offer.
Ahmed Ali, who is a senior visiting fellow at the Education for Peace in Iraq Center. He's also Iraqi-American himself. Ahmed, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.